With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, turn the radio on, it's Saturday, and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong, I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Make no mistake about it, Justice Kavanaugh is going to be on the Supreme Court as long as he chooses to serve.
Mitch McConnell there saying what I think we all know to be true. Anybody doubt that at all?
No.
Does anybody think for a moment that I was going to say Mitch McConnell is going to be impeached? No, nobody thinks that. That Brett Kavanaugh is going to not serve any days in the Supreme Court that he doesn't want to serve. I mean, he is there. He is doing it. It is happening. Wasn't it, Ruth Bader Ginsburg that just came out recently saying that she really likes Kavanaugh? He's a really great guy.
Yeah. She's like, he's done so many great things for women that he's awesome.
If RBG is saying it, then come on, get in lockstep, lefties.
They did.
She's your queen.
This New York Times piece didn't help their cause of trying to get rid of Brett Kavanaugh at all.
I need to ask Tony to tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't asked you to do this, but I know you're ready to because you've been talking about it all day.
Heck yeah, let's go.
Can we talk about Herb Roach a little bit?
Let's talk about Herb.
Sure.
Can you flesh that out in case anybody didn't hear it in because...
No, it's a great story.
Tony says, get this, and then he prefaces the story earlier.
It's pretty funny
it's
that
ridiculous.
The guy's name is Herb Roach.
Brett Herb.
His name is Herb Roach, but
yeah,
it's Herb Roach.
What is Herb Roach opposed to? Herb?
Marijuana.
Roach? I am
Herb
not.
Herb Roach is opposed to marijuana.
Let me interject here, and I won't ask any other questions. I will just speak from my own experience.
Sure.
I've never smoked weed in my life. I've never been around people who were smoking weed when I was with them in my life. I know a lot of people who do smoke weed. In the state of Illinois, very excited that as of January 1st, it's going to be fully legal. I don't come at the marijuana legalization conversation from a place of any sort of personal reference. So people will say, Annie, where are you on the legalization of weed? And I am like, tell me where you are and tell me why you're there. Because I'm constantly like researching on the issue. But in Illinois, January 1, it's
recreational.
A go.
Yep.
So this is a mayor?
He's the mayor of O'Fallon, Illinois. And he is against marijuana being legal in his town. So at his urging, and the city council, I guess, is in lockstep with the mayor in O'Fallon. The city council there approved an ordinance declaring dispensaries public nuisances. And he says that they will not be allowed to operate within the city limits of O'Fallon, Illinois. Mayor Herb Roach says, O'Fallon, right?
Mr. Roach.
That's funny.
Roash.
Herb Roach is against O'Fallon, or is against marijuana. He's not against O'Fallon. He's all for O'Fallon.
He's against the Mary Jane.
That's just ironic, guys. Okay, come on.
Totally.
Let's just have a little fun here. It's funny. Mayor Herb Roach says O'Fallon is
known.
Yeah, says O'Fallon is known for safety and high quality education. He was asked about the potential revenue for the city and asked, "How can you overlook this opportunity to raise, to have this potential revenue generator happening in your community?" He says it's not about the revenue; it's about the community's reputation and what's best for it. He did say that he will try to get a non-binding referendum on the March ballot to ask residents if they think recreational marijuana should be sold. So that's good, I think, that he is at least doing something to try to gauge the community's opinion on this. But in the meantime, city council has declared marijuana dispensaries a public nuisance, and the mayor is not going to allow marijuana sales in the city of O'Fallon.
It's like the gun sanctuary counties thing that I know Madison County was one of them who became a sanctuary county. They had a ballot measure that was basically saying the oppressive anti-Second Amendment laws that are going to be passed by the state of Illinois, that they're just not going to prosecute them in specific counties. Can you do that the other way around, though? Can you disallow something that is legal unilaterally as a mayor?
I don't know.
I think so. I think cities have certain abilities that would allow. I don't think he can stop people from smoking marijuana in his city, but he can keep the businesses out if he wants to.
The dispensaries out, okay.
I mean, if they've been labeled a public nuisance.
At risk of non-reelection? Is that where the people have their say?
I don't know. I guess we'll find out if it does go on the ballot in March. I don't know what the temperature is in O'Fallon, Illinois.
Let me ask you both this question. Illinois is legalizing marijuana. Has legalized it. It goes into effect January 1st. Many people are like, you can solve financial woes in the state of Illinois if you just legalize and tax weed. And I'm always like, how much weed are we smoking?
Right.
Like, what is the the brevity of information that I have not been provided with that is going to explain to me how this is going to mathematically save our shit?
If done properly, you might be able to take a piece of the tax of the budget issue. You might be able to a small percentage of that could be fixed with marijuana tax. However, why does anybody think that the revenue for marijuana is going to go to the right places in the state of Illinois?
Remember how all of the taxation on gambling was going to fix our public education?
Yeah. So just because it could help doesn't mean it will help.
So as observers, you guys have front row seats here to my constant lamenting of the dumpster fire that is the financial situation in the state of Illinois. Tony, when you pay attention to the news every day, all day, both local and national and globally, and you have an understanding of what is taking place in Illinois, but you aren't a resident. So you are like many people who listen to this show, who hear me talk about the state of Illinois. Many people who say on the regular, just move. What is Tony's reaction to story after story after story, which we're going to have Eric Cohn, who's the marketing manager at Illinois Policy, is going to talk to us here at 2:10 about the latest budget cuts that Pritzker's putting out there, which I will tell you right now, I think is only a way to make people hurt before he asks people to pass a progressive income tax that's going to pay for all these so we don't have to cut. What is it like? Front row seat, state of Illinois, as a Missouri resident.
It is.
What are you laughing at?
It's train wreck.
Katie won't even respond. She's just going to sit over here and snicker.
So I don't need to get in the details, but as you know, I do have deep family ties to Illinois, the Edwardsville area. We have family property in the state of Illinois, and I have family that lives there. And some people are embedded in their community and their what they do for a living. For example, the farmers in Illinois, you know, they can't just up and move because their farms, their property, their crop is in the state. You can't move a giant farm to a different state. So, you know, people like that have to have to fight for their community, and they have to fight to
Is there a part of you
trying to make it better?
Looking at the people, maybe like myself.
Well, if,
is there ever a part of you that makes that looks at me and goes, "What a futile endeavor!" Like
no,
it's
no,
not going to happen, Annie.
No, because it's a righteous endeavor. If not futile, but maybe futile, but it's fighting for your community. I mean, look, it's not the same, but there are similarities in that. I live in Florissant, always have lived in the Florissant, Hazelwood, North County area, and have watched literally every single one of my high school friends move out mm-hmm. of that community. And they all, like I'm sure friends of yours, Annie, say to you, why are you still there? Why don't you move as well? And it's because I have a lot of pride about where I grew up and where my family roots are. And there are, and in North County and Illinois, you know, there may be some bad, but there's also good that people need to realize. And there's good that is still there to fight for. And so I understand why you don't want to leave, but I also would not, I wouldn't think any less of you or anyone else that realized or came to the decision that
it's over.
It's better for, it's better for my family. It's better for my finances. It's better that we just leave this bad situation.
And I think
so
that people,
I get it both ways. I get the fight and I understand it. And I think it's, and if that's where your heart is at, then you should do it. But I also understand the idea of this is not, This is damaging my ability to raise my family mm-hmm. and you know, progress in the way that I want to.
Katie,
so
from your standpoint, I mean, you've been paying attention to news not necessarily as long as Tony has, mm-hmm. but you've told me before that you learn a lot from what
I'm so old, Katie.
Gosh, that was such an old
there.
Man.
He's
old fart.
He's in his 40s.
He's my dad.
That's what my daughter thinks.
Yeah.
He's my dad.
I asked my 3-year-old Evelyn, I said, do you know what mommy does? She goes, yeah, you go to work with Katie and play with Katie and Katie's dad.
Yep.
And I go, who's Katie's dad?
That's what we do.
Evelyn says, Tony Stark. And I'm like,
it's him.
That is exactly what I do.
I'm Tony Stark.
He's a superhero.
You've got the front row seat, Katie. And you hear me talk about these stories. Yeah. And sometimes I think I tell a story and you're like producing the show and you're like, wait, what did you say? That's terrible.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm coming from a perspective of knowing you greatly and knowing your passion for Illinois and how much you would like to impact and change Southern Illinois. That's a very, very big thing that everyone knows about Annie Fry. So that's where I think that you staying there is fantastic. And you know your own limits. Nobody else can tell you your limits. You know them. However, I have very few but great friends that have worked in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
They worked there for 6 months and then got the heck out.
Is this the friend you told me about?
Yeah, I have two friends, maybe three friends that work in Illinois. Maybe I'm debating on that third friend. We might not be friends.
I was going to say, is the friend status in question or the Illinois?
No, no.
Tony, that's
friends.
That's you.
I have four friends. Four friends.
I'm still debating.
Friends.
I'm still debating.
Let me send a text and I'll let you know.
But I have friends that work in Illinois that have worked there for a short period of time and quickly found another job in Missouri because they could not handle the taxes. They could not handle getting their paycheck and seeing how much is taken out that goes to Illinois. And not 100% knowing exactly where it's going. They just know it's not in their paycheck anymore.
Interesting. Well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Tim Jones is going to join us in the studio. I'm excited to talk to him about this because he's been the Speaker of the House in the state of Missouri, and he's gotten a lot done for Missourians. If you are somebody who lives in the Show Me State, you probably have seen some of the benefits that people like Tim Jones, who are representing you in Jefferson City, have brought to the taxpayers, the voters in Missouri. Maybe he's got some advice for some people in Illinois. Maybe he's going to tell me he's got a nice house down the road from him that he thinks it's too late and I should just move and go live in Eureka. I don't know. ask Tim Jones when he comes back. And I'm going to take your phone calls. Kevin and Joseph, you guys are up first. But if you want to join this conversation, if you want to weigh in on your reaction of this Illinois news that we talk about on a regular basis, 314-241-9797. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy Wednesday. That's what the word on the top of my sheet is today. Is it Wednesday?
You know what? Today I took the time and I made sure that it was the correct day on the top of that
darn
sheet.
On Monday it said Friday.
Yes.
And that was just really mean.
And then I think on another day last week
last
it said
Wednesday
something
said Monday.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a show sheet. I just read it. It's very Anchorman of me to just be like, whatever this show sheet says is what it is. Before we get to our in-studio guest, I want to take a couple phone calls here. I was talking about to Tony specifically about what is it like to hear what I'm saying all the time about Illinois and to observe that from up here as a non-Illinois resident. So I wanted to take a couple phone calls here. 314-241-9797 if you want to join us. Joseph, thanks for calling the show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I used to live in Illinois, and I still have family that live in Illinois. And I left primarily because of the taxes and the corruption there. I've lived in Missouri for quite some time, and I got a letter from Illinois this year stating I owed them $1,000 for taxes, claiming I lived in the state. So it took me 6 months to get that cleared. And I'm in Lauriston, where I also have family. And I remember it as a kid. About 20 years ago, it used to be such a nice area, and it's just gotten so bad that I'm leaving next year when my lease is up. It's really sad because there's just so much potential here, you know, and you look at all the new development that was there, kind of like where St. Charles is now, and then how it's just rapidly declined. The crimes went up, and, you know, you just got certain neighborhoods that are good. It's just really sad, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah,
it's just really sad.
Joseph, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. I want to get to our guest, Tim Jones, about this because he's got a little bit of experience in legislating.
I'm definitely not America's sweetheart.
This is Armageddon.
Tim Jones in with us now. Tim, thanks for filling in for me yesterday.
Annie, it's always an honor and a privilege, and thanks for having me in the big chair. And I don't know if you realized you made it or not, or consciously, but in your first hour, love the Spinal Tap reference of turning things up to 11.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I caught that.
That's like maybe the only thing I know. And Rob Reiner, right?
Yeah.
Rob Reiner movie?
The unfortunate part of that, but that's back when he just made movies.
Oh, Rob Reiner made a lot of great movies.
A lot of great stuff. Meathead!
Stick with what you're good at. So, Tim, you...
Yes, Illinois.
You know the ins and outs of legislating in Missouri, and I talk all the time about things that are taking place in Illinois and wanting to help be part of the solution there in Illinois. When you're sitting over here and you're watching these taxes, new taxes that come out, or these new decisions by our lawmakers, what's your reaction?
Annie, I love when you talk about Illinois, first of all, because there are a lot of good people over there. There's a huge chunk of the 97.1 listening audience over there. And Southern Illinois, actually most of Illinois, is full of good, hardworking, common sense folks, whether they consider themselves conservatives or not. That most of them, I think, don't want their taxes too high, their regulations too strangling. They want government to mainly stay out of their lives. They're very much like Missourians. They're very much like the supermajority of Missourians that vote for 5 out of 6 Republican statewide office holders over here and a supermajority of legislators. I know John Tillman and the gang over the Illinois Policy Institute, one of my very good friends, Senator Brian Kelsium from Tennessee, actually works for the Center for Liberty and Justice, which is the litigation arm of Illinois. So there's great people there trying to do great work. But I also love Illinois because it is the poster child for progressive policies of the left gone wild.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. As much as Democrats and the left want to talk about, in a very improper way, in a misrepresentative way, about the tax cut over in Kansas a few years ago that was really mishandled by a lot of the fake Republican rhinos in the legislature who just hated Governor Brown back and really made a mess of things with that tax cut. Kansas is recovering, though. Illinois is not. And so I love to hold up Illinois. And Democrats outside of Illinois will never argue or debate me on the failure of Illinois, because what can you say? They have, for the third year in a row, Annie, and even the Chicago Tribune, the editorial board of the Chicago Tribune, has pointed this out and agreed with me on it, because it's a fact. More people have fled Illinois in, you know, voting with their pocketbooks and their heads than any other state in the union. It has the most out-migration. And there's a reason.
They're going to lose a congressional seat.
They are. And that is really going to be, that's when the nation will wake up to the disaster that's Illinois. Right now, they try to keep it their dirty little secret. But Annie, even the Chicago Tribune editorial board has said, okay, here's probably why people are leaving. The taxes are too high. The regulations are too strangling. Big labor union bosses control everything arm in arm with Springfield far left Democrats. And what do they do, Annie? They double and triple down on stupid. They raise taxes. I heard you talking about the gas tax. I heard your great little story about your new friend you've met over here at the local gas station.
Say hi to Leon at Zoom.
At Zoom.
It's going to be the weirdest thing when all of these Illinois residents are like, is Leon here? I want to say hi.
What's the bumper stickers you have?
With the Illinois Policy Institute, they have a pain in the gas.
Pain in the gas.
Sticker that you could use, and it's a caricature of J.B. Pritzker, and the pain in the gas is appropriately placed on his ass.
So Annie, not only do they have the most people leaving their state than the other 49 states, or I guess if you're Barack Obama, the other 56 states, but not only do they have that happening, they have the second largest pension bomb about to go off in the country. They're like, their pension system, Annie, I think is in the mid-20s as far as funding.
I'm looking up the number right now.
It's around 25% maybe.
It's insanity.
It's insanity on wheels. And you know what? What are they doing about it? Nothing. They're continuing to raise taxes, increase regulations, drive out businesses. The only thing that literally keeps that state going is the fact that a lot of people, me included, think Chicago is a really cool city and people want to go visit it before it falls
city.
Into the abyss, yeah. I guess.
Yeah, you know, I've been having conversations with a lot of people around the state of Illinois right now involved in politics or involved in the background of politics. And the interesting thing that they talk about, a lot of times that idea of a Chicago separation comes up, and people in the background don't think it's possible. There's not people in the background who are really taking it seriously. But they do see value in putting the spotlight
it's
on
pushing a point.
Chicago
yes.
and saying this is something we need to pay attention to.
It's making a point as to where the problem really is. I don't think that it'll separate either, but I'm glad they're pushing this issue because desperate times call for desperate measures. Nothing else has worked. So maybe if you point out where the real problems are, where the real disaster is emanating from, maybe then people will wake up and take notice. There's no reason that Illinois, sitting right here next to us in the heartland, and many people would argue with a lot better advantages than Missouri, there's no reason why it should be performing economically worse. There's no reason why they should have such a massive budget deficit every single year, why so many people should be leaving, why they're going to lose a congressional seat, why they should have one of the worst pension systems in the country. There's no reason other than, like I always liked it to point out, left-wing liberal policies that go back decades. This is what happens when you put Democrats in charge of something entirely for too long.
So Republicans have had a stronghold on the state of Missouri for quite some time. Is all the work done in the state of Missouri? I mean, certainly from where I literally sit and live, the grass looks awfully greener on the other side. But what work is still left to be done in Jefferson City for the taxpayers, the voters of the state?
Plenty. And so let me, I just praised Missouri. I'll be fair and I'll critique it because Republicans are in charge here. And Annie, what it comes down to a lot of times is not just Republicans. It rarely comes, when you have a super majority in control of something, it starts developing philosophical differences within the parties, mm-hmm. okay? Like, I'm sure in Illinois, not every single Democrat is a far left-wing liberal coastal elite, right? Mm-hmm. There's probably some sure. that wish they could make some changes.
We've got some Southern Democrats who are, you know, strong on gun issues yeah. for the Southerners down here, and in some cases, some tax issues, but...
So what would those people be called? Reformers, right? Yeah. They'd be called government reformers. So over here in Missouri, Republicans are in charge, but guess what? In Missouri, we've got some old-fashioned establishment, don't rock the boat, establishment Republicans, and then we've got government reformer Republicans. You have a lot of them on these airwaves quite mm-hmm. a bit. People over here in this neck of the woods like Senators Onder and Bill Eigel, Andrew Koenig. Outstate, there's people like Representative Holly Rader down in southeast Missouri, and in mid-Missouri, Hannah Kelly. People like that who want to change things. What do they want to change in Missouri? They still think we have a lot more to do on our tax system. We still have, when you combine our state, our local, our taxing jurisdictions. Look at your tax bill sometime, folks. There's not just one line on there. Like in St. Louis County where I live, there's like 15 lines. There's like 15 taxing jurisdictions. We have a heavier tax burden than we really should for our cost of living and for the amount of services we receive. What else do we need to do? Labor reform. A public employee labor reform pursuant to like the Janus decision. We have very strong public sector unions in Missouri, teachers unions, public workers. They should not be calling the shots. The taxpayers should be. I think we should be a right to work state like every other state around us, except for Illinois. Michigan was the cradle of the big labor movement, and they are now a worker freedom, right to work state. Think about that. Mm-hmm. And we're not. Litigation reform. We used to be here. St. Louis City was number one on the judicial hellhole list put together by the American Tort Reform Association. Education reform, that's one thing we've made some steps on everything I just mentioned. We've made very little strides on education reform. That is a bipartisan issue. There are many blue states. California actually has really good education reform measures. It's one of the few reform things that California has done. Florida probably leads the way under the leadership of Governors Jeb Bush, Rick Scott, and hopefully now Governor DeSantis. So that's something where, you know, the teachers unions and the education cartel in Missouri are the most powerful special interest group in the state. So lots more work to do, but I would say what we're not crippled by here in Missouri is an epically failed budget and pension system. We still got a lot of work to do in our pension system, but it's nearly 65-70% funded. That's better. It's still a failing grade, but it's better. And we have a true balanced budget that exists not mm-hmm. on the backs of the taxpayers.
Yeah, there are some certain luxuries that you can discuss when you are paying your bills and doing right by the taxpayers. Illinois certainly is not in a position to do that. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, more with Tim Jones. Also, your phone calls. Randy, hold on the line. Your first step when we return, 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. You can join this conversation. I'm going to ask Tim Jones about how President Trump influences this version of the Republican Party. And we might even get into Tim Jones's opinion on legalization of weed. You have an opinion on that?
You put your weed in it.
Yeah. Put your weed in it.
We'll have that as soon as we come back. Don't go anywhere.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Great to be with you. I want to get to a phone call here real quick before we continue this conversation with Tim Jones in studio with us, talking about the comparison between the state of Illinois and the state of Missouri and the way that this is going to continue down the road that it is. You've got it's still a super majority of Republicans in the Missouri legislature, right? Is it on both sides?
Yes, in the House and the Senate. Now, that may change after Clean Missouri goes into effect after the 2020 cycle. Mm-hmm. We'll see if that affects the maps or not. That was that initiative over here in Missouri that was cloaked at all this as all this ethics reform, but what was buried inside of it was a gerrymandering provision that the left wanted to get into place. So, but right now it's a clear supermajority in both chambers. 5 out of 6 statewide offices are held by Republicans.
Same with Illinois, only on the opposite side of the aisle. Supermajorities for Democrats in the governor's office. And I mean, basically, if you want to do it, you can do it. You're mm-hmm. going to have to campaign knowing that the next time your election comes up. But in each state, if you're a Democrat and you want to get something through in the state of Illinois, probably can make it happen. If you're an Illinois or if you're a Republican in Illinois, fat chance.
Isn't it funny how these states are, it's not like we're talking about California and Texas. These states sit right next to each other. They look the same. You drive across them and same geography, similar people. We all have similar dialects depending on where we are.
You wouldn't know the difference between a Missourian and a Southern Illinois.
If somebody plunked you down blindfolded and said, where are you? Took the blindfold out. Where are you? Are you in mid-Missouri or are you in Southern Illinois? You might have a tough time figuring it out.
Sure. Yeah. Randy, thanks for calling the show.
Yeah, I would just want to talk a little bit about the marijuana fiasco that the state of Illinois is pushing down our throats. As a business owner, let me assure you that I've already been told this is a federal guidelines. My drivers cannot and will not be covered if you're involved in any kind of accidents in my vehicles while they're on the substance of marijuana, even if it's on recreational on the weekends. It stays in your system, yeah. I understand, for 3 to 4 weeks. But you can't be a bus driver. You can't be a school bus driver. You can't drive for Madison County Transit. You can't be an Uber driver. You can't work for Ameren or Spire or any of those places and have marijuana in your system and have that insurance company cover you. It falls on the company to cover that.
That's interesting. Randy, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. Tim, what's your, as we were saying, Illinois is legalizing it in, as of January 1st, it will go into effect. The O'Fallon, Illinois Mayor Herb Roach.
Mr. Roach.
Is opposed to
Mr.
it.
Mr. Roach.
It's funny, guys. Come on.
There are a lot of people who have strong opinions on this issue. I am not one of them because I am very interested in all the different perspectives. What's yours?
My opinion has evolved. I'm not completely as far as, you know, legalize it all the way. But my feeling is this is opium comes from a plant, from the poppy, right? And it's legal under supervision of a physician or a prescription. Why shouldn't the marijuana plant be treated the same? Why are they treated differently, I guess, is my point on that. So medical marijuana supervised under a physician. If we're going to say that narcotics, which are extremely powerful drugs, which are also responsible for one of the healthcare epidemics in this country, are going to continue to be legal in a certain fashion, why wouldn't marijuana be treated the same way? Furthermore, why aren't we using the marijuana plant for all sorts of non-ingestible purposes, like hemp, okay? Mitch McConnell is a huge proponent of the hemp industry because it would be a boon
Makes
for Kentucky.
Sense.
Yep, for Kentucky. Cocaine Mitch.
Yeah, no kidding. Every time the left
thinks they have something on Mitch McConnell and thinks up some little name to call him, he just basically makes it into a T-shirt and sells it to his campaign workers. So they have these Cocaine Mitch, you know, T-shirts they all wear. So hemp, I've talked to some experts in the industry who said that because we villainized a plant so severely 50, 60 years ago, maybe even longer than that, that we are way behind where we would be in research and development technology relating to all the things you can make from hemp. They have created the first prototype vehicle out of hemp. BMW.
Crazy.
BMW has built like an indestructible car out of hemp because hemp is an extremely strong tensile product. And why aren't we using it for those, you know, so hemp, you can't smoke hemp, right? You don't go out there and smoke a rope, you know? I mean, it's no good to you.
How do you know what
like
I want to do?
Soap on a rope. Maybe I don't.
If I want to do that, why can't I do that?
The last thing I'll say, CBD oil. CBD oil is another thing that you could drink a gallon of CBD, and the only thing you're going to do is get sick from drinking a gallon of CBD. It does not make you high. But many people say it has incredible in anti-inflammatory measure. If we're going to prescribe Advil and
I know somebody personally who is using CBD oil, which is amusing to see that sitting on her counter. But she says it works great.
You know, and I've tried it before, the topical lotion.
It's great.
And you can get CBD oil with zero THC in it.
Yeah,
zero.
They sell it at Walgreens and Deerbrook.
Right, Walgreens. The one in Eureka has a sign now.
There
come
you
get
go.
Your CBD oil here. So these all come from cannabinoids. They're plants. They're given to us by God. You know, I mean, And again, I go back to why are narcotics, how did narcotics become so accepted in the medical industry, but everyone, but not everyone, some people are still deathly afraid of the medicinal purposes we could possibly get. I think we need more research, we need more development, sure. But that's why I'm okay with checking it out, you know, and seeing if it works.
I think there's a huge difference between what should, you know, like I as an adult be able to do with marijuana and what do I want my kids to do with
well,
it?
Yeah,
like I think you can be opposed to the use of it and still not have to be able to have a say in what somebody else is going to do with their time. My question is, because I, like I said, I don't have all the information. Mm-hmm. I compare it to alcohol. I feel like the argument when you're like, alcohol is fine and weed, like if we're going to legalize one and not legalize the other, I feel like we're going to convince ourselves that we should prohibit alcohol again. Mm-hmm. Like when you compare the two substances side to side, I don't think it looks good for alcohol. And I also don't want to have, you know, people smoking weed in my house.
Well, yeah,
at the same time. So that's why I'm conflicted.
I'm no more in favor at this point of recreational marijuana than I am in favor of recreational opioids, you know? So I can compare those two. However, in an overall body of work of the plant itself and its potential uses, I've gotten more Tony Colombo-esque in my thinking, I guess. I've gotten more libertarian.
Welcome aboard.
Giddy up.
Rad the choo-choo train.
Hey, can I give you a little quote before I have to get out of here about a great article I found today on The Hill?
What's it about? Is it about weed?
It's about how a Barack Obama appointee thinks that it's wrong to call Trump supporters racist.
Hold on just a second. Okay. I want to get to Michael's phone call here real quick. Michael, go ahead. I wanted to get your call in.
Thank you, Annie.
Yeah, no problem.
And hello, Mr. Speaker.
Hello.
My comment is this. Look, I've been smoking since I was in high school, smoking marijuana. I don't think that children should use it because, I've suffered from CRS. Can't remember.
Okay, yeah. Moving on.
All right, so.
Stuff.
Young people, their brains are still developing, and that is something that needs to be, addressed. But I drive for a living, and I've never been too high to drive. I've been smoking almost all my life. I'm in my 50s.
So, have you been high while you're driving?
Yes.
Oh,
yay, caramba.
I don't think people fully understand. It's not like alcohol where you get all double vision, you get uncoordinated. For me personally, and this is it's different with everybody, it's different with different people, you know, but for me, I get more focused. I see
relatively speaking, in general. I don't know. You're kind of scaring me, Michael, but maybe you're telling me I shouldn't be scared.
There's nothing scary about it, Annie. There's nothing scary about it. It's just new and nobody fully understands.
Well, I got to get to a break, Michael. I thank you for your phone call and call back in and we can talk more. I don't know, but I don't think marijuana is new.
I don't know.
I think it's older than I am. I'm not new.
God bless America.
Tony, is it okay to drive when you're high?
No, but I don't agree with that at all. But I will say that if it was up to me on whether I was going to be on a dark highway, twisty road late at night, and the car coming at me was somebody who was drunk.
High or drunk?
Or somebody who was high. I'll take the person that's high every time because I think there's a lot less danger.
Oh, it's still bad. I'll take the early bedtime.
It's still bad.
Tim, what do you got?
It's still dangerous, but I don't think it's as dangerous as alcohol.
I'll leave you with just this thought about, you know, you've talked a lot about how, the left calls every Trump supporter a racist, right? There was an Obama appointee that wrote an article on The Hill today. Those painting Donald Trump voters as racial bigots would be wise to remember that Obama-Trump swing voters accounted for more than 70% of the reason Hillary Clinton lost. So in short, tarring this critical block of Americans in Ohio, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin who voted for Barack Obama as abominable racist is not only nonsensical, it's a recipe for Democrat electoral disaster.
Bad politics, folks. All right, we got some people calling in. 314-241-9797 if you want to join the show. We're going to talk with Illinois Policy Institute when we come back. Speaker Tim Jones. Thanks. Appreciate
thanks for having me, Annie. Yep. Good to see you.
On Twitter, at Speaker Tim Jones. Like I said, buckle up. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.